Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Willingham with Crimson Line Ministries. We are going to jump into this hot and heavy. We've got a real exciting show for you tonight. But just like we do all the time, we're going to start this program in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to come together. Father, I ask that you allow me to speak clearly, to articulate this word that you put in my heart today. Father, I ask that you just bless every person that's on the line, bless the message, and bless our time together. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are again. I'm going to try my best to squeeze all of this in an hour. God is really, specifically today, God has just been working on my heart in a major way. We've been talking the last several weeks. We've been in a series on how to change your life in 10 days, and we're going to continue that series, but we are breaking a little bit tonight. This absolutely goes along with the series, but it's going to be a little bit different. You've heard me talk about that we're to renew our minds. We talk about the Bible verse that says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." We have talked a lot about God pouring out his spirit in these last days. And I absolutely do believe that we're in the last days. Does that mean 10 days? No. God's time is not our time. But I do believe that he's pouring out his spirit because we see evidence of that around the world in ways we've never seen before. We've talked a lot about honor and respect, and that our miracles and our treasures and our blessings that we're to experience in this life are locked inside individuals. They are not something that fall down out of the sky randomly. They're not something that shows up under a tree on Christmas morning. That these miracles and blessings and treasures are locked in people. They're locked in relationships. And because we live in a culture, specifically the United States of America, that has been overrun by dishonor and disrespect, we don't even come close to experiencing the blessings and the miracles and the treasures that the people around us have to offer. So here's the question. What does it mean to lay down your life? See, we like to say that. We like to post that on Facebook. We like to tweet that. We like to quote that to our friends, that there's no greater love than to lay your life down for a neighbor, for a friend, for a brother, for a sister. What does that mean? And if it really came down to it, would you lay your life down? The other question is, how do we change a Western mentality? What do I mean by Western mentality? When anybody in the world refers to a Western way of doing things, they're referring to the United States of America. See, we think that the reason that we're hated around the world, that countries in the Middle East hate the United States of America, is that they're just jealous of our success, that they're jealous of our favor, that the rest of the world is just favor haters, and that's why they dislike the United States. That's not true. One of the biggest reasons that the rest of the world dislikes the United States of America is because our culture has invaded their countries. Our music has invaded their country. Pornography has invaded their country. The way we view relationships has invaded their country. It has taken over the minds of their youth. And what these countries have worked hard for centuries, whether we believe it's right or wrong, whether we believe in their gods or we don't, the things that are the most wrong with our country and the reason our country has deteriorated at the rate that it has infiltrated other countries, distorted the minds of their youth, and it's becoming harder and harder to control their youth and their culture because now they're experiencing a culture of dishonor and disrespect. I challenge you to do your research. You can look into it yourself. See, we have this arrogant mentality in the United States that our way is the only way. If you don't do it our way, then you're wrong. So the title of tonight's message, going along with the series that we've been on for the past 6 weeks, of how to change your life in 10 days, the title of tonight's message is Only in America. Only in America. And we're going to break that down, and we're going to see if we can shed some light, a lot more light, on certain things we talked about. We're going to shed some light on the American church. We're going to shed some more light on our culture. We're going to shed some more light on the original purpose of God. What was the plan? What was God's big idea back in the beginning? We're going to talk about the problems with the body of Christ, what we're not seeing, the intention, the intent of the body of Christ, what it was intended to be versus what it is today. And we're going to talk about the image of Christ, what it means to be like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to react like Jesus. So stick around. It's going to be a lot of information. If you have something to write with, please grab something to write with. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get your Bibles turned to Isaiah 61, and we're going to read that verse when we come back. But we're going to take a short break, music break, and we'll be back real soon. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
This is a TV.
To the sky, reaching for the Lord. I need your helping hand, Lord.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio. It's Country One Minute. Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. Let's start there. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We've talked about several verses, chapters, books, just over and over and over about laying down our lives, about God being glorified through the least of these, through the hungry, the poor, the destitute, the broken, the mourning. But yet, somehow there's still this disconnect. And that's how it brought me to this message tonight of Only in America. This week, we saw something that was an eye-opener for me. What we learned was that if you have a roof over your head and a bed to sleep in and a closet, I don't know where the closet came from, but that was part of this, a roof over your head, a bed to sleep in, and a closet, that you were 75% richer than the entire world's population. And it got me to thinking about America, because here's the reality. Here's the reality of where we live. And this does not take away, diminish anything from those who are hurting, from those who are poor, for those who are homeless. This is not taking away from them at all. But the reality of our situation here in America is we don't know what it's like to be hungry. We might know what it's like to be hungry for 24 hours, but very rarely do we know what it feels like to be starving to death. We don't know what it's like to be laying there wondering, am I going to make it through the night because I have no food or water, haven't had food or water for days. We don't know what it's like to have a disease that can't be treated. There's no help. There's no hospital. There's no antidote. There's no medicine. So even the poorest of the poor in the United States of America to the rest of the world are considered kind of spoiled. And even the poorest of the poor seem to still have this entitlement-type mentality of you owe me. And I understand that to a certain extent, because regardless of what your current situation is, that's how we've been raised. We've been raised from the time we were knee high that it's all about me. It's all about my dreams. It's all about my goals. It's all about what I have. It's all about what I can get. It's all about getting over. It's all about manipulating. We've lost the culture of where hard work and dedication and sticking to something, those days are long gone. We make excuses for our failures. We blame somebody or something, usually somebody has to be to blame for my failures. Because we certainly can't look in the mirror and put ourselves in check and say, what part did I play in this catastrophe that just happened? What part did I play in getting my life to the point where it is right now? So only in America can we have this culture where a multi-million dollar church can pop up on corner after corner after corner. I'm watching one being built now, a brand new facility worth approximately $25 million when the original church is less than 10 miles down the road. The church still held the number of people that go to the church, but they wanted the church to be on the interstate so it would receive more visibility. So only in America can we go down to the bank, and the bank knows and the loan officers know that church is such a big business that it's a safe bet that they're going to get their money back with interest. America is the only country that you can do that. Only in America do we have schools, from elementary school now all the way to our institutes of higher learning. These supposed institutions of higher learning now, instead of teaching job skills, they're now holding classes where they bring in the owner of the local adult novelty store to teach classes on God only knows what. And if you want to Google that, just Google the University of Maryland and the pornography class. Just Google that. It'll pop up on YouTube. That's what our children are learning in school now, and what the parents are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to send our children to school, to learn how to be revolutionaries, to learn how to get out of college, and instead of going and diligently seeking a job, they choose to go to the streets and urinate on street corners, and to criticize the very people that would possibly give them a job. The 1%. We live in a country that only in America can there be a cause for everything. Thousands and thousands and thousands of causes. And if I can come up with a cause, then I can solicit for money to support my cause. And somebody that's, since there's no discernment or wisdom left in this country, is going to throw money at me if I can package it pretty enough. Only in America can we have so many movements, so many revolutions, so many cults that date back decades. We've been so deluded and brainwashed by our culture that will follow anything or anybody. We'll follow one man down to Ghana and drink poison Kool-Aid because he told us to, and we'll all die. Only in America. We live in a culture of greed. It's all about me. It's all about my dreams, my goals, proving to the world that I'm somebody. And everything that I just described is the complete opposite of God's plan, is the complete opposite of the intent of Jesus Christ when he came and died for us. So let's go back and review, because I've talked about this before. What was the original purpose of God? Because ever since I was a little kid, all I can remember going to church was hearing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm doggone lucky to be saved, and that I'm supposed to love God with all my heart. But I grew up in church, and not one time do I ever remember doing anything as a child to serve the people around me, to serve the poor, to minister to the poor, to feed the poor, to house the poor, to comfort a widow, to help elderly people to cut their grass or to clean their house. Or I don't ever remember any of that, even though I know those things exist. But let's recap the purpose of God, and we're going to break this down. Hopefully I'm going to break this down to where this is very understandable, because this is not difficult. God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the world into existence. He set in motion a principle. What I speak, I see. Sowing and reaping, we talked about that. Every seed produces after its own kind. You produce what you are. If you're not seeing breakthroughs in your life, if you're not seeing financial breakthroughs, if you're not seeing relationship breakthroughs, you have produced what you are. If you don't give, you don't get. Let me clarify that for a little bit. If you represent yourself as a charity case, you'll stay alive. There are enough good, honest, decent human beings in the world that you'll stay, you'll keep your head above water. But that is not a blessing. That is someone feeling sorry for you. Because you produce what you are. And that is the case 100% of the time. So God spoke the world into existence. He gave Adam and Eve a kingdom to rule over. He said, I've given you dominion over the earth, over this kingdom. Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the kingdom. Jesus comes on the scene and gives us the kingdom back. He comes in, all he teaches about is the kingdom. He gives us the example of how the kingdom is supposed to operate. He tells us everything about it. The kingdom is like, the kingdom is like, the kingdom is like, over and over and over again. He preaches and says, repent, for the kingdom has arrived. I brought it back. I'm giving it back to you. Then he gives himself as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He dies. He's raised again in 3 days. He ascends to heaven to sit down at the right hand of the Father to do what? Sit there and do nothing? No. He reigns over the kingdom. And then his word teaches us over and over and over. It teaches us that when we accept him into our lives, that we're adopted into a royal family, that we have an inheritance, that the same inheritance that Jesus had, we have, because now we've been adopted into a family and now we're brothers and sisters with Jesus, with a Father in heaven, a king, and we're royal blood. And this inheritance that we receive is the same inheritance Jesus received, which is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, before he leaves, he says, I've given you the ability to do all the things that I have done, and even greater things than these you will do. That's not symbolic. That's not open to interpretation. Some would have you believe that. Some would have you believe, how dare you compare yourself to Jesus? Jesus did. Why did he? Because he said, I came here to start something. God sowed his son into the earth. Sowing and reaping. Why do you sow? You sow in order to reap. He sowed his son into the earth to do what? To reap a harvest of more sons. To do what? To carry on the work that Jesus started. To go across the globe, to every nation, to every village, to every town, to every city, to every community, and preach the good news of the kingdom. What is the good news of the kingdom? Is it just Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins? No. The good news of the kingdom is when a baby is taken out of a trash can that's one breath away from death and revived, and 3 months later, it's a fat little baby who's thriving and doing well. That's the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is when the body of Christ steps into an area in a city and revives that area, that preaches the gospel. The salvations happen and these people accept Jesus into their lives and they change their way of thinking. They renew their minds. They turn their lives around and now they're not homeless anymore. They're living in a home and they have a happy marriage. And the husband has a job and maybe the wife has a job and they start a family. And 5 or 10 years down the road, they're able to look back and see what God did in their lives. That's the good news of the kingdom. So we have a job to do, but we're not doing that job. See, because the Western way of thinking is that I'm supposed to go to church every Sunday. I'm supposed to go to a building. I'm supposed to go to an organization where I'm supposed to be fed. So we get dressed up in our finest clothes, in our nice cars, and we drive down to the church and we sit and we listen and we get excited and we get renewed and we're ready to take on our week. But it usually doesn't take too far into Monday that we start slipping back into those old ways of doing things because we haven't taken any personal responsibility. That we're not listening to what the Bible says, that we're all called to ministry, that we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, that each and every one of us is, that our job is to reconcile everything back to the Father, that we're supposed to be a light in a dark world. But we have so conformed to this world that we don't even see it. Some do better than others. Some try hard. But if you take and break down the days of even the people who try the hardest, their day is still spent grinding. Their day is still spent planning. Their day is still spent thinking about that day when I'll have more, that I'll have that home, that I'll have that car, that I'll have that life, and they cloak that under the umbrella of, well, then I'll be able to be a blessing to others. See, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. And I'm going to bring that back, and I'm going to explain to you why. The other thing that's happened with the American church is this. We put all of our faith, we put all of our hope, we rest our ability to get renewed and to get excited and be this hyper-spiritual Christian, we rest all of it on human beings. We go from conference to conference and seminar to seminar and church to church looking for that voice, looking for that one voice that's going to stir me up, that's going to get me excited about the Lord again. There's plenty of those around. There are gifted, talented preachers all over this nation. But this is what happens. More times than not, those preachers fall from grace. They make mistakes. And we put them under a microscope. And we analyze their life. And we form perceptions about their life. And unless they have reached a pinnacle, unless they have reached a level to where they have 20, 30, 40, 50,000 members in their congregation, we will take that pastor, preacher, down to his knees in a heartbeat if he makes a mistake. And we remember the verses. We remember those verses, and everybody can quote them. But, oh, the pastor, he'll be judged more harshly. To whom much is given, much is required. We remember those verses, don't we? But the reality is that we are the called, not the perfect. But that's really not the problem. I'm a human being, and I'm going to make mistakes. And although I'm going to make mistakes, I will not abandon my calling. See, we forget that if we look through the Bible and see people like Moses, Paul, David, all of these people that by today's standards, we would run them out of the church so fast. How dare they? So what's the message here? The message is that it is a full-time job taking care of Chris. It is a 24-hour-a-day job to keep myself in check. I don't have time to turn my attention to how other people are living and to expend my energy wanting somebody's life to change more than they want it to change themselves. I've been guilty of that for a long time. That's an old business principle. An old business principle says you can't want it more than they want it for themselves. If you're an entrepreneur, I can't do it for you. You've got to grind. You've got to be awake working when everybody else is sleeping. You've got to want it because I can't do it for you. And that really comes into play when you accept the calling into ministry, especially as a pastor. Because you want so bad to see change that you can literally drive yourself crazy when it doesn't come fast enough. So, as in my case, you get reminded sometimes you might want to stop and look in the mirror because you're spending so much time focusing on the lack of change in everybody else that maybe you're starting to change, that maybe you're starting to change for the worse. That you're losing perspective, that you're getting bitter, that you're getting angry, that you're getting tired, that your health is starting to go downhill. And oh, by the way, Chris, you're starting to spend less and less time with me, less and less time on your knees, less and less time in the Word, and you're operating on everything that you've learned in the past. You're operating on your talent, you're operating on your gifts, you're operating on your excitement, and you go from sermon to sermon to sermon to sermon, and eventually that's going to run out. Because unless you let me speak to you, and unless you let me download what I need to download into you, you will come crashing down. So now we have churches where they become so massive and so rich that they can fall from grace. And I've sat back and watched this happen over the past 2 weeks, that somebody that has been a voice that has spoken into my life for several years now, that they're faced with major adversity. The church is faced with major adversity. This is real life, serious, heartbreaking issues that this family is dealing with. The story went public. And it's always, to me, it's not the fact of what happened. It's not the fact that someone sinned. It's not the fact that someone fell from grace. That's not what bothers me, because really nothing shocks me anymore. It's always, to me, it's always what I really look for is how it's handled on the back end. And I've seen this happen time after time after time after time. We see somebody fall from grace, and we like to think that someone would stand up in front of a congregation and ask for forgiveness. Nope. Instead of asking for forgiveness, we invite our congregation to anoint us as king and carry us around on stage on a throne. Or we liquidate everything. We're going out of business sale. This is over. And lo and behold, I pop back up 6 months later with a new church, and wow, I just went from zero members to 20,000 in a day. And we just flip the script and change it. Or we make everything so public and we air our dirty laundry out on social media, traditional media, magazines, news stations, and we rally the troops. We rally the troops to the extent that you can look into the congregation and it's almost like they're hypnotized. Why do we see this? We see this because the people are worshiping the man. It becomes not about God. It becomes about the man. And this man will stand up and say, as we speak, as we speak right now, as we're in this tornado that we're in, upstairs in the church right now, we have a strategic planning committee, and we're rebranding our church. We have a marketing team put together, and we're going to deal with this. We're going to make sure that we don't lose our momentum. We're going to come out of this even stronger than we were before, and you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people smiling and nodding their heads and giving a standing ovation. Only in America. I'm not saying that we're to condemn and turn our backs on the body. That's not what I'm saying. But when the enemy attacks and we lose a battle, that's when you go behind closed doors, you lock the doors, you close the windows, you pull the blinds down, and the body gathers together, you drop to your knees together, you ask for forgiveness together, you love one another, you turn to God for guidance, you turn to God for strength and peace. But we can't do that, can we? Because if we do that, then we lose momentum, and that means losing money. Everyone's perception is their own reality, and that'll never be changed. So what we have to do as a church, as a body, is we have to be doers of the word to such an extent that the people around us in the communities and the states and the nations, they know we're human. They know we make mistakes. But we're so busy meeting the needs of others, meeting the needs of each other, turning our focus away from ourselves and on the people around us, that we don't have time to get involved in gossip and speculation and perception that can bring a ministry to its knees. And that brings us really to our last point when we're talking about the church. And this is what you have to decide. This is what you have to decide about the church that you belong to. Because remember, I've told you, it's all about a kingdom. It's all about righteousness, and it's all about the image of Christ. So what we have to ask ourselves, and you can always gauge everything. Everything that we do, we gauge by the life of Jesus. That becomes the easiest thing to do. So when we look at Jesus and the way he ministered, and then we compare that to the ministers of today, by worldly standards, was Jesus rich? Did he have stuff? Did he live in a big house? See, we gauge that if I live in a big house, I can bless others. If I have a big bank account, I can bless others. Jesus didn't have a bank account. Jesus didn't live in a big house. Jesus had nothing. He had the shoes on his feet and the clothes on his back. And his life, he laid down his life for everyone. Was he untouchable? Because that's what our pastors and our preachers and our apostles and our bishops, they're untouchable, aren't they? We can't get to them. They're surrounded by security guards. And they live in the mansion on the hill. They're not down in the streets washing anybody's feet. They're not down on the streets feeding hungry people. They've exalted themselves to such a level that they become a rock star. They're no different than any rock star we see. My job is to preach the Word of God. And I've got other people who will handle the other stuff for me because I can't. Lord knows that I can't shake hands with 3,000 people. Jesus fed 5,000. He was standing right there. Think you're surrounded by enough people in your little auditorium that holds 4,000 or 5,000 people, surrounded by your security guards, that you can't go give somebody a hug anymore, that you can't go visit the widows anymore because it's just too much. I can't handle it. Jesus wasn't untouchable. Jesus wasn't isolated. We've stopped looking at the life of Jesus and how he did things. And we've created a culture and a system that we do things the way we do things. Jesus was not aggressive. He loved. He was gentle. He was kind. He was patient. But we're aggressive, aren't we? We're aggressive in the way we do things. We send out armies of young kids, depending on your denomination, to go irritate the heck out of people in their own homes. I'm sitting down eating dinner, and I've got to deal with somebody ringing my doorbell and saying, "Excuse me, brother, do you know Jesus?" That's the way Jesus did things. That's the way the disciples did things. We model nothing we do. Nothing. After the life of Jesus Christ. We show up on a street corner and we throw biscuits at people and we get on a bullhorn and we scream for an hour. Talking about repent or you're going to hell. And you better listen because if you don't, I'm not giving you any more food. That's how we do things now. But when we leave, we can go back to our nice, cushy churches, and we can check off our list, our little to-do list of being good that we fed a homeless person today. And this one's taking on kind of a personal meaning, if you can't tell that my voice is changing just a little bit. Because in our ministry with Crimson Line Ministries and the partnership with Feed the Homeless Tour, we just took everything to a whole different level this morning at 10 o'clock. And I need to ask forgiveness for not doing this sooner. Because even I fell into the trap of placing myself in a room, closed inside four walls, and expecting people to come to me. If they want to hear what we have to say, they'll come. We've tried to make it as convenient as we could for people. They should be able to be here. And you go week after week after week, and you become more and more and more frustrated because no one shows up. Until finally, you find yourself in a park on a Sunday morning, surrounded by people that are at the end of their rope. They're trying to hold on to what little string of hope that they have. They're not perfect. Do they have the wrong mentality? Yes. When you give them things, do some of them go out and abuse those gifts? And do they go out and sell those things for drugs sometimes? Yes. But that has nothing to do with me. Because in Isaiah 61, it says, preach good tidings to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Open the prisons to those who are bound. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of God. Comfort those who mourn. Give them beauty for ashes. Regardless of what they're doing with what they're given, their life to them is ashes. And it's our job as a ministry to show them the beauty of God. Because I'm telling you right now, nobody else is going to do it. And the ones that are trying are misguided in their methods. Because what they're doing is they're looking at the poor and the destitute. They're looking at them as this fringe of society. This fringe. Let's go help the poor, pitiful, homeless people. Well, you know what hit me this morning? This is what hit me this morning. I'm here to honor you. I'm going to be a little selfish right now. I'm here to honor every single person that's sitting in front of me and the ones that are to come weeks and weeks down the road. Because you know what? We're starting a church. And we're building a body. And you have something locked inside of you, whether you believe it or not, whether you're strung out on crack, whether you're an alcoholic, no matter what your issue, there is a treasure locked inside of you. And that treasure is what can be contributed to this body to advance the kingdom of God. And it's my job to teach you, to disciple you, to love you, to take care of you, to feed you, to clothe you, to do whatever I have to do to bring that treasure out in you. And when you see that treasure start to come out, you're going to see yourself in a way you've never seen yourself. That is going to show you that God really exists. You're going to see the love of God in me and this ministry, and you're going to be skeptical for a while. But when you see the consistency, when you see the actual agape love, the unconditional love, the love that says, none of us wanted to be here today, but we're coming because this is our calling. Because it isn't about us, it is about us laying our lives down for you. And within 30 days or 60 days, the people whose lives are now ashes are going to see the beauty, and they're going to turn right back around and start showing that beauty to others, and they're going to start teaching, and they're going to start discipling, and they're going to start singing in a choir, and they're going to start preaching and pastoring and mentoring and taking care of children. And that's the advancement of the kingdom. So the question is, how long are we going to go? How long are we going to keep getting on Facebook every day and posting scripture after scripture after scripture, and there's nothing about our lives that show the love of Christ? There's nothing about our lives that shows the image of Christ. Because when it comes down to it, and we have to be honest with ourselves, it's still all about me. I still have my petty dreams and my petty goals that have nothing to do with anybody else. They have to do with me. So the people that are on this line tonight, the only thing I can do, because I said that taking care of Chris is a 24/7 job, is to commit right now, no matter how painful, no matter how frustrating, no matter how many times I wake up and I don't want to move and I don't want to preach and I don't want, I've got to keep going and I will keep going. Because you know what? There's somebody coming after me. There's going to be somebody that I run across that God touches them through me, and they're going to go on and do 1,000 times greater things than I could ever do. And nobody knows who that is right now. But I'm here to tell you that the time is now. There are too many examples of this all over the world right now where God is pouring out his Spirit in all parts of the world. And not one place, not one. I have looked and I've tried to find one ministry on this globe right now where the people that are involved in the ministry that are doing the most good for the kingdom and that are advancing the kingdom the most and are raising up armies around the world, I haven't found one that lives in a big house. I haven't found one that drives an Escalade. I haven't found one that has separated themselves from their ministry and not been down in the trenches getting dirty and digging holes and cleaning people's feet, washing their feet, hugging them, loving them. Not one. It's the big mega churches that we hide behind the walls and we smell good and we have our nice clothes on. So we have to go spend more money to get a new suit, more money to get a new dress, more money to get a nice pair of shoes. Not this morning in the park. I don't think anybody at the park this morning cared what they were wearing. And neither did God. We've got it wrong. And God, I'm going to end with this. God says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Remember I said this, it's Omega time. He's operating in the Omega aspect of himself right now. He is pouring out his Spirit. He's calling his children. He's calling them to have more boldness. He's pouring out his wisdom. He's pouring out his discernment. He's pouring it all out. He's pouring out his Spirit like never before on this planet. And it just hasn't hit the United States yet. There are some that think that it has because they went to an exciting conference this weekend. Well, I think this weekend was a full moon, I believe, so that was a perfect time for a nice conference to get you excited and tell you that favor is coming your way. This has nothing to do with favor. This has to do with pain. It has to do with grinding. It has to do with loving and loving and loving, and when you don't feel like you have any more love, you love some more. And God will send you the people. Make no mistake, and I know this firsthand, he will place the people in your life that can be your strength when you're down. But you've got to open your hearts. You've got to make a decision that what am I going to do this week? Am I going to look around me? Where is a need? See a need, fill a need. See a need, fill a need. Take a break from the grind. Take a break from working on your career. Take a break from working on your goals and your dreams. And just look around you and see someone in need. And don't just superficially fill that need. Don't just hand somebody a sandwich. Don't just hand somebody a biscuit or a bottle of water. Reach out to them. Put your hands on them. Pray with them. The time is now. The time is now. And I've never been so tired and worn out and exhausted and frustrated in my life. But I've also never been more encouraged and more excited about what's about to happen. And it all shifted when for the first time I stood outside, not inside four walls, but outside, in the sunshine, in front of people who had nothing. In front of people who have only been married 3 months, and they're down here from Vermont, and they've only been here 12 days. And after 12 days, they just happened to be in a park, and they were asked to come join us, and they said no, they weren't interested. Mm-hmm. And after 3 minutes, they walked over, and they said, man, we kind of like what you have to say, so we're going to sit in. And when it was all over, they were the ones that sat and talked to me for 10 minutes and told me about their life, told me about where they're from, told me about what they want to accomplish, told me about their marriage, and said that they wanted to be a part of what we were doing. Regardless of whether they're homeless or not, they said they wanted to be a part of what we're doing. And less than 30 minutes later, they didn't want to have anything to do with God. They were frustrated. They'd been burned. They'd been disillusioned. They were tired of the same old, same old. They were tired of feeling judged. And all they wanted was somebody to show some love. And all it took was us going down and gathering in a park and talking about a kingdom and talking about a God who loves us. Go figure. We need to kind of shift this into high gear a little bit. I encourage everyone, because when it's all said and done, all of the people on this call tonight and all the people that I know are associated with this ministry, we don't care if you're perfect. We don't care whether you're going to make mistakes or not. We're going to be there to pick you up when you fall. And we're going to keep grabbing you, we're going to pick you up, and we're going to keep moving you forward because there's a job to do. And we're not going to have any more of this false support. See, this is the American definition of support. I support you in America means I'm going to kiss your rear end as long as you have something to offer me. And if you quit offering what you've been giving, then I'm not going to support you anymore. That support. Because, oh, by the way, those people that support you, they never give anything. They just take. They take and take and take and take and take and take until you don't have anything to give anymore. And then they're gone. That's the American version of support. We're going to show a kingdom version of love and support and honor and respect. And we're going to teach and teach and teach and grind and grind and grind and love and love and love until my last breath. That's laying down your life. That's what we're committed to with Crimson Line Ministries. And there are going to be people who hate us for it. And when that happens, I'm going to jump up and dance. Because we're already starting to be persecuted a little bit, and that's when you know you're doing something right. So with that said, we're going to take another break for some music, and we'll come back and open up the lines. All you have to do is press 1, and that'll put you in the host queue. We'll be glad to take your questions, comments. We're going to take a short break for some music. You're listening to Crimson Line Ministries on Hip Hop National Radio.
Give up on me. paper the other day about a preacher who fell from grace. He begged the church for forgiveness. He realized he made a mistake. And some folks left the church and said, he's supposed to be a man of the cloth. See, they forgot he was the same man that prayed for them when they were lost. So glad God is not like man. He won't throw you away after you've done wrong. But I don't think you understand that you won't and put you back where you belong. God didn't give up on me. I'm so glad. God didn't give up on me. When I gave up, it's easy to point the finger when the spotlight's not on you. Well, and we would be surprised what we see if the truth come out on you. And you need to show a little mercy and grace for somebody else. And take your foot off your brother and consider yourself. I'm glad God has done.
National Radio, Pastor Chris Willingham, you now have the floor.
Well, sorry about that. I wouldn't. The intro was a little different. Well, guys, yes, welcome back. That was Dietrich Haddon, and God didn't give up on me. So what we're going to do now is, just like we always do, we're going to open up the lines. If anybody has any questions or comments, just press the number one on your phone. We'll be happy to take those comments or questions. All right, well, it looks like we're at the end of the show. No questions or comments tonight, so we're going to end in prayer, and we will not be having the extended music version tonight. So I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and let's end in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing in this ministry. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of the people associated with this ministry. We thank you for the people that you're leading to us. We thank you for entrusting us to minister to the people that are with us now and the people that are to come.
Father, bless everyone as we go into our week. Father, we honor, love, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Chris?
Yes.
You do have a caller just raised their hand.
Okay.
It's 850-322.
Hey, how are you doing? This is Curtis Williams. I just want to say, man, I've been enjoying listening to the session, How to Change Your Life. I'm looking to change my life and get all the negativity and whatever out of my life to just move forward and be successful in God's eyes and eyes of my family and the eyes of myself.
Well, praise God, man. Well, I tell you what, if you ever want to contact us directly or talk to me personally, you can always reach out to us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/CrimsonLineMinistries. Just send me a message. And if you'd like for me to call you, I'd be happy to call you. Or if you contact me on Facebook, just message me and I'll give you my phone number and you can call me. But I'd love to talk to you and hear more.
Well, I can give you my number now.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you do that? Just reach out to us on Facebook. I don't want you to give your number out on the air. Reach out to us on Facebook, Crimson Line Ministries, and then just send me your phone number, and I'll give you a call. Where are you located?
I'm actually in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Gotcha. Well, man, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad to know that some people down in Florida are listening in.
Yeah, we definitely enjoy your show tonight. Definitely do.
We appreciate it. Well, have a wonderful week, and God bless.
You as well, sir. You as well. Goodbye.
All right, Chris, that looks like it's about it for right now, and you've already played us out. I just want to let the audience know, if you're listening in, you can send your music to hiphopnational.com. Just go to hiphopnational.com to upload your music today. And so we can get it into our system so we can share it with our listeners. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Thank you for listening in. Pastor Chris, have you got anything to say? Say now.
God bless, guys.
Okay.